a beautiful mess. A beautiful mess, yeah. Life is a beautiful mess. A beautiful mess, yes. Life is a beautiful mess. A beautiful mess. I'm trying, I'm crying, I feel like I'm dying. I'm doing my best.
Well, welcome back to Being Human and Other Shit. Today we are on the ancestral homeland of the Nisenan people. We acknowledge them as the past, present, and future caretakers of this land. And today we have a very special guest, Olivia. And our friend Olivia is going to be talking to us really about her IVF journey. I know that that's something that many, many people have experienced, have gone through. And so she's kind enough to share her story. So welcome,
Olivia. Welcome.
Thank you.
So just to kick it off, did you always want to be a parent? Give us a little bit of backstory of how you and your significant other like got to this point where you decided to explore fertility treatments.
You know, we had always kind of, I think my husband, he comes from a larger family with quite a few siblings. I came from a larger family. I only have one sister, but you know, we had tons of cousins. So having that big family was always kind of one of those things that you just do. You get married, you have a family, you know, the whole house, dog, kids, all of that. And so I don't think it was ever in my mind that we weren't going to have children. But I don't know that it was necessarily I think it was just one of those things you're supposed to do, but yes, not necessarily like my own. Oh yeah. That's what I'm going to do. It just was what I expected to happen. And so when it didn't happen, it was like, this isn't the life path that I anticipated. So that's what kind of, you know, maybe, I don't know, looking back on it, if I would have chosen to go down this path at this age, knowing what I know now. But at the time, I was like, no, we're supposed to have kids. Like, this is what we're doing.
Yeah.
How old were you when you guys first started exploring like fertility treatments, if you don't mind me asking that?
Oh, not at all. So I always knew that I had some issues with my hormones and my period was never regular. You know, I was always irregular from the time it started. I'd like to say I had it quarterly. So it's like, obviously there was an issue. Yeah. And when I got older, you know, I never had any of those like, am I late or any like that? It was always just kind of nothing ever happened with that. And so I knew kind of going in when we decided to get married that I was probably going to have some issues. So we planned on getting married, I think, in 2005. And just because of some family health issues, we ended up delaying and we didn't get married until 2012.
Oh,
and
wow.
At that point, right, I was like, oh man, I am getting old. We have got to get on this. So
say that. Don't say that. Don't you think?
No, I mean, now looking back on it, I'm like, oh, well, I'm stupid. I was definitely not old. But I made OB appointment almost immediately after our wedding. I think we went on our honeymoon in August and I was in her office by like September. Oh, wow. You know, just saying, you know, we have not been actively trying, but we've not been actively trying to prevent. And so I know that there's an issue. What do we need to do? Mm-hmm. And that was kind of the first stage of our IVF journey. And my OB was great. She immediately put me on a drug called Clomid, which is essentially something to help you kind of produce more eggs in your ovaries. And that didn't work. And we did that, I think, for a few months. And then she referred me over to the fertility clinic.
How does it, when you say it doesn't work, is it like basically the medication didn't work? Like it's like what would happen is just you would be pregnant. Like that's the end result. Does that make
pretty
sense?
Much, yeah.
Wasn't like making more eggs?
Yeah.
Actually? We actually never really went through, and I almost feel like it was kind of just a like a way to pacify the insurance gods. Like here, we did try something. She kind of when she originally proposed it to me, she made it sound like it wasn't going to work. But you, in order to be diagnosed with infertility, you actually have to have been trying for a year. And the doctor, you'll go into the doctor and say, you know, we've been trying for a year, nothing has happened. We're both healthy, normal couple. And then she can refer you to the fertility clinic. But it is a process.
A whole year?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, it does, but they do say that, you know, a normal couple only has a 15% chance of conceiving in a given cycle. So,
That's a low number. I didn't realize that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So somebody who's abnormal, you know, has a much lower chance.
Was it always important for you to give birth and like carry your own child?
You know, I was actually adopted. So I think that I kind of wanted that connection to somebody who was, you know, had my genetics. You know, I'm actually really a very focused on our family ancestry. I love researching our family ancestry. And sometimes I get a little sad that I don't see my parents in myself. And I don't see my grandparents in myself. I loved my grandparents and, you know, just certain things that I wish I carried forward. Because I believe in adoption. I had a spectacular adoption experience. My parents, I mean, I'm, you know, really loved and very spoiled. Uh-huh. And so I had a wonderful experience. So I'm not saying that I wouldn't have adopted, but I think it was really important to me to have a connection genetically to somebody to see. And now that I do have my son, it is an amazing experience to see the combination of, you know, my husband and myself in him.
Yeah, that is really cool. I always think that too. One of my little brothers is adopted, but he is in like the bloodline. Mm-hmm. But I always think that with him, like, how does he really feel, you know, mm-hmm. because like technically my mom's side of the family is not his biological side of the family. We don't feel that way by any means, obviously, but
right.
I'm actually, I didn't know that. So that was cool. That was a plot twist. I didn't know.
Yeah. That was a plot twist. I didn't know.
Wow. He really did research.
I know.
That's what we did, though. Blind reactions. That's really cool. And that's a beautiful way to say it. Cause I do think, you know, like a lot of topics, not everything's just black and white and transparent all the time. And it's okay to say, like, I would like to try to birth my own child first and then see what my options are. Cause some people get real crazy about that, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's really cool.
Yeah. Have you taken any of your own like DNA testing and like seeing if there's anybody out there that you are genetically connected to?
No, I haven't. And I do know, like, as far as adoption wise, that I do have siblings. I have a sister, I believe, that's a year older than me. And then I believe I have younger brothers, but I don't know. That's just something we've talked about and I just have never done. And then of course life takes over and you're 1,000 times too busy to even think about stuff.
Yeah. I got one of those for my birthday and I still haven't done it.
You still haven't done yours?
No. And Kate's like, dude, when are you going to do it? Like, and I'm like, I don't know. I was actually, when you were speaking about it, that was my question, Liz. I was going to ask if you had done that. I think I'm low key nervous. My dad passed away a long time ago when I was like 19. I'm like low key nervous that I have a sibling out there.
You 100% have probably like a ton of siblings out there.
So I think, yeah, some of me is like that, where it's like, I just haven't been motivated enough to do it, but I need to do it.
Anyway. You probably need to do it if you decide to be in a relationship and have children with a male so that you make sure you are not related to that person. But
well, that person more than likely won't come from our hometown. So it'll be okay. I think I'll be okay. So, go ahead, Melissa.
Sorry. Were you and your spouse on the same like page with what next steps were going to be? I'm sure you guys like navigated this process like together, but were there any hesitations from either one of you to like explore IVF?
No, I don't really think so. I think that my husband, he's so easygoing. He kind of goes along with almost like, if I say we got to do it, he's like, okay, that's fine. You know, we'll go ahead and do that. And I don't think either of us really understood the actual effort and an emotional, you know, just the crashing down on you all the time that comes with this whole process. I don't, like I said, I don't know if we would have actually moved forward with this path, knowing everything we know now. Although Oh, wow. The end result is my son, I mean, I adore him, but it has been definitely a long road. And my husband and I are now much older parents because of this whole process. And that was also a hard decision to make, you know, and we're actually still in this process right now. So, we're trying to make choices about our family and having more children. And my husband is now in his 50s, and it's one of those things. It's like, okay, we're not too far from retirement. Well, I mean, we are too far from retirement, but
yeah. I was like, you're not super close, but
we're inching closer.
Yeah. How do you mind if I ask how old you are?
I'm 44 and I'll be 45 this year. So,
and how old is your son?
He is going to be 5 this next month. He's going to be awesome. 5 next month.
That's a fun age.
Yeah. Well, and we would have started expanding our family, but COVID happened. And so that was kind of one of the things that kind of delayed us. So now we're looking at expanding our family again. And like I said, we're much older, so we're going to be the old parents.
I mean, you're more like, I mean, you'll be the experienced parents.
Right.
I don't think those youngsters know what they're doing, you know?
But they have the energy. Life
experience. The energy is all they have.
Yeah.
That's what nannies are for.
Definitely the energy, I think, is the part to your point.
Yeah, true. Do you, so like for people, men who may listen to this, can you kind of walk us through like specifically what IVF is, like beginning to end? You already told us about how they put you on the medication and like the year, you know, that it takes, but like, how does the whole process work? Honestly, for me, I really don't know either.
Oh, sure.
And if there's any like prereqs to like starting IVF, is there something that you physically have to like do to get ready for it, I guess?
I think the one main thing is that you need to be in good health. As you know, I mean, there are some things that, you know, you can't control and they will work with you on it. But I know for me, I'm on the heavy side. And so my original physician that I met with at the fertility clinic, I go to NorCal Fertility Clinic. They're amazing. And my original physician actually did want me to lose weight. She felt like that was definitely a factor in me not being able to conceive. I was diagnosed with something called PCOS, mm-hmm. or polycystic ovary syndrome. And she said that would really help. So I actually did go. I went to, I can't remember what the doctor was called, but I did go on like a diet plan for, I think it was maybe like 3 or 4 months, and I lost like 30 pounds, and then we started the process. So there were a couple of genetic tests that we needed to do. She had to run to make sure that my husband and I wouldn't pass anything that was, you know, I can't remember what's one they call the muscular
dystrophy.
Yeah, something like that. And then there's one other one that they really test for to make sure that you're not. And it's actually really cool because you get this whole report that basically tells you all of these things that you have genetically. And one of the things that I found was really interesting for me is when my genetic test came back, I did have one flaw in my genome sequence or whatever it was called. And I respond poorly to a certain type of anesthesia. And essentially it told me that I will come out of it slower if they use a specific anesthesia. And Whoa. That was my one genetic defect.
That's pretty big though. How would you ever have figured that out? Having surgery, like what the fudge?
Yeah, exactly. They did tell me though, they said that anesthesia is not commonly used anymore, and that the anesthesia, essentially, I would have been intubated if I was under that anesthesia. So the only thing it keeps you from doing is resuming breathing quickly. So it would take, like, it took you 10 minutes to recover from that anesthesia, it would take me an hour. And so it was just an interesting thing.
But like, yeah, we actually don't use that anymore because it's super fucking dangerous. So cool.
Yeah.
I wonder if that's a common like thing though. if they don't use it as often. So I wonder if it's like something that a lot of people will have.
Yeah. Second question. How do I do it? How do I get that? Like, I want to know.
It was a really cool, test. My husband, of course, had nothing wrong with him. I was like, oh, okay, all
right. So annoying, right?
Yes.
God, they're so annoying.
You're like, I get to sleep longer when I get out of anesthesia, so.
Yeah, so you know what? I don't know what your superpower is, but I get to sleep really well. So, fuck you.
Exactly.
That's crazy. Okay, so you did the whole testing.
We did the genetic testing, and you know, this is one thing that was really hard for me, is that everything is delayed by where you are in your cycle. So, you know, they base everything on, okay, your period is this day, this is day one of your cycle, and everything starts from that day one. And if you miss that day one or something happens, you have to wait for the next day one. So another month and then another month. And that is one thing that when you're going through IVF, they're like, oh, it's just another month. It's just another month. And I'm like, I am aging here as we speak. Come on, guys. Like, you're killing me another month.
Also so insensitive to say it like that.
Oh, it's the worst. It's the worst. Especially because, you know, you think I only have 12 months in a year. Are we going, it's another month. Now it's another year. So yeah. That was very, very frustrating for me. But like I said, so we did the genetic testing, we waited for the next cycle, and then we kind of kicked off. What did we do first? So they like you to try the less invasive things first, because IVF is a little bit invasive. You know, they stimulate your ovaries to make them produce as many egg follicles as they can. They go in with a needle, they extract all of the eggs that they can get that are mature, and then they bring them into a lab, use your husband's sample, and they create embryos, see how many, you know, develop, and then go through that whole process. So that is really invasive. I mean, it's a minor surgery, but it is a surgery. Yeah. So they want to try a couple of other things first. And the first thing we did was IUI, which is intrauterine insemination. And essentially I did medicated cycles because I had such a problem with my period coming on a regular basis. So, in some people, they'll actually do IUIs unmedicated, where they'll just time out your cycle, figure out where you are. And then the IUI is basically your husband comes in and gives his sample, they put it in a catheter, and then they thread that catheter up through into your uterus and deposit it so that it's much closer to where it needs to be.
You said thread. Is that painful?
Just through like the tubing, right?
Yeah, the tubing, it goes up through your cervix and then into your uterus. And it is not the most fabulous thing in the world. I mean, everybody who's a woman who's been into the doctor and had to have the whole speculum, and that is, it's cold.
Oh, I don't know why that just does not bother me. So many people are like, you don't care about passengers? I'm like, let's go.
Like, I just go take myself to a whole different world for the 5 minutes that it takes or whatever. And then I'm like, all right.
Yeah, it's so fast. I'll say though, the last one I got, it was a new, cause I have Kaiser. It was like some random lady who was like newer. She didn't have her client books open yet. And I could not stand this bitch. I'm like, how are you an OBGYN? You were so rude. And like, I was actually asking her about this type of stuff, and she just was, it was crazy. And I was like, well, now I feel uncomfortable because I'm spread eagle, but because you're kind of an asshole. So anyway, that's out. Yeah.
So it ultimately with the IUI, it's getting it to where the journey for the swimmers don't have to, the journey's not as long.
Right. Right. And then they're very aware, you know, you have to go in, and I also through this process, you lose all like sense of, I don't want to say dignity, but like privacy. Yeah. I mean, everybody sees everything. You no longer have, like, it's like, here, doctor, come in and look at my shit. Because
my junk.
Yeah. Look at my junk. So that actually it's kind of funny when they're doing the IUI and they're threading that through, there's actually somebody who comes into the room who's the technician. And then there's the doctor, and then there's your husband, and then there's, sometimes a nurse. And so it's like, you know, free show for all.
Very clinical, I'm sure, like the process. So
yeah, it is. It's definitely
for them though. It's probably clinical because it's like, you know, business as usual. But I'm assuming that's just a very vulnerable position to be in.
You're not running it,
you know.
No, because at that point you're already up in the stirrups with the speculum holding you open, and you're just having a conversation with the people next to you. And
Jim, Steve, Richard, Nancy, everybody, get in here. Look at this.
Exactly. Like who wants to see?
Just help
your neighbor, like everybody's in there.
You know, you get to a certain point where you're like, you don't actually care anymore. It's like, okay, sure, come on in. But yeah, that was definitely an eye opener for me, because I had been to the OB and had the regular pap smears, but this is a different level of that. And especially the preparation in advance of it, you go in and you have internal ultrasounds. So the ultrasounds inside, they have a wand, they put it up, they can see everything much better than like an external ultrasound. So that's fun, because you have to have those quite often to figure out like heavier.
That's fun. Like,
that's fun.
Saying that sarcastically.
Not to confuse the listener. Was sarcasm.
That was sarcasm. Subtle sarcasm.
Yeah.
And they check and see where your ovaries are in your cycle, and then they determine, you know, when they're going to do that process. So for me, I was medicated. So I had and because I was overweight, and this is something to warn people, when you're overweight, they want the medication sometimes in the muscle as opposed to in your fat. So I had to do the intramuscular injections, and my husband did those for me. So like I said, you start your cycle, you go through to a certain point, and then I think on day 3 or day 7 or something, you start your injections. And then that stimulates your ovaries to produce. And then you go into their office and they do the internal ultrasound and check you and see where you are, how you're developing, if you have follicles that are big enough, because they have to be a certain size before they trigger them to release. And if they're ready, they give you a shot, and that actually forces you to ovulate within, I want to say it's like 24 or 48 hours. And then you go in and you have the IUI done. And so everything is timed. They grab a hold of your cycle and they move it along to where they want it to be. So it's really an interesting process, and that's just for the IUI. And we did, I want to say that we did 2 or 3 of those.
Holy shit.
So how is there a specific time frame in between, or you can do it each cycle? Like you can try each cycle, or do you have to wait in between those? Cause I know there's really a lot on your body and hormones and stuff.
You know, that was so long ago that I actually don't really remember. I think we might have done them one after the other. I think we might have done like 1 or 2, and then we maybe took a break for a little while and then did another. But I had, interestingly enough, I had one of my best friends going through this process at the same time.
Oh, that was probably nice.
It was an amazing, like, you know, just kind of support and the information and knowing that what I was going through was not different. And so she actually was kind of ahead of me. So she started the process like right before I did. So I had kind of like an information, you know, source of information handy from the beginning. And we had a conversation, and this was after, you know, 1 or 2 IUIs. And she was saying, you know, she had at that point done, oh gosh, I don't remember. It seems like 6 IUIs maybe, or something along those lines. It was quite a few that were not successful. And we were talking about it, and she was saying, you know, if I could go back, I would just go straight to IVF at this point, because this is so hard and disappointing, and it's not working. And I've spent just as much money, or not just as much, but close to as much money as I would have just to do a round of IVF on all of these IUIs that were unsuccessful. And after having that kind of conversation with her and kind of knowing my own history and how irregular I was anyway, my husband and I kind of had a conversation as well and said, you know what, we're just going to go to IVF. I know it's going to cost a lot more, and it's an investment, but, you know, like you said, it was hard on the body having to do all of these hormone shots, all of this, you know, appointments, because, you know, they check you every few days when you're doing these ultrasounds. So and travel back and forth, we decided to just jump right into IVF at that point.
that was kind of nice. You had that like person, to, you know, your best friend kind of went through it for you, you know, to give you that.
Well, the insight and to kind of bounce those ideas off of.
Yeah.
Funny enough, that actually helped. We have a nanny and she's actually going through a similar process. And we had the same conversation and she decided to go to IVF as well, instead of spending a lot of time with the IUI process. So
this is what's amazing about just community in general, is that like, this isn't something, some people are embarrassed that you feel like your body's like failing you or whatever, you know, nonsense that we put in our own minds about this kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. But it's like, when we actually sit and talk about it, a lot of people are dealing with this and they just need a little bit of guidance. And sometimes it's right for that person, and right for, you know, what was right for you may not be for that person, but at least like talking about your experiences and what mm-hmm. worked for you and didn't work for you is probably more helpful than anything that someone can like Google, you know?
Well, yeah. Especially from somebody you trust, you know, you said your best friend, like there's, Melissa and I are very, very different people, but there's also stuff that we experience things differently, but she's given me insight. I'm sure I've given her insight into the, you know, things that we've gone through that are similar.
Right. It does help. It helps to have somebody you can trust. And then also somebody who knows you and knows that, you know, your personality, and she definitely talked me down a couple times when I was getting upset about things. So it was really, really, really helpful.
Yeah. Yeah. I actually do want to ask that. So physically it sounds, I mean, in general, women's, our vaginas and our bodies just take a beating, right? Like mm-hmm. for lack of a better word, but emotionally, like how can we get into emotionally for you and your husband both, and maybe even the people around you, your family, your support system?
My family was definitely encouraging about the whole thing, mainly my mom. You know, my mom knew what we were going through and she was on board with whatever we needed to do to have a grandchild.
Parents, so, right? It's like, oh, lay off.
Yeah. I will sell my house. What do you need?
Uh-huh. We'll retire right now. We'll move in with you. It's like, then definitely no.
But yes, both all my parents were, my parents are divorced. So I have my stepmom and my mom and my dad, and they were all very supportive, and they didn't know anything about the process. None of them had ever been through anything like this. So they just kind of followed along. And as we went through the whole process, I don't think I shared as much with them about the ups and downs. You know, that was just mainly my husband and I. The IUIs were definitely disappointing. I don't know. I think because you go through so much in each process, you think this is going to work. I'm putting so much effort into this. I'm getting shots. I'm going to these appointments. I'm really like, I'm making an effort. This is going to work. And it doesn't. And I don't necessarily know that I felt like my body was failing me, but I do remember that sense of disappointment. Like, I can't believe all that work and it didn't happen. So that was definitely frustrating. And like I said, you know, my family, I don't think I shared all of those things with them. Just, you know, it's not something, I'm not good at the phone calls. So, and we live far enough away that we don't see each other on like an everyday basis. So it just kind of was just something I shared with my best friend and my husband. And so the IUIs, like I said, were very disappointing. But I think I was still in those early stages. I mean, we'd only done 3 IUIs. And when we had talked about IVF with the doctor, they were pretty positive about it. And I felt really good going into it. And I'm like, this is going to work. I'm not worried about it. It's going to happen. And it actually did. Mm. And so that was, I don't think I experienced as much crushing disappointment as I know some people do. Because I know there are other people who have much more severe conditions like endometriosis, which makes it really hard to have your implantation stick, or, you know, other things that are wrong. I mean, I essentially had a hormone problem that caused me to have a very irregular cycle, but everything else functions the way, you know, it needs to. And so I was really lucky they took that part of regulating my cycle away. And with the IVF, we were able to control all of that. And, you know, it took on the first go. And so I was, we were blown away. I'm so happy.
And your son, I had the pleasure of meeting him, and he is an incredible little human. So I know that has a lot to do with his parents, but it just, he's a little miracle, I think.
Definitely. He definitely is. I mean, he is too spoiled at this point. We're trying to like rein that in because he's just my little miracle baby.
I love that. Did you get any kind of like negative feedback or negativity or any harsh judgment from people when you like started this whole process?
I think the main thing that I got was more of an ignorance about the process, like a kind of a confusion as to why it was necessary. And like I said, nobody really knows your history. They don't know you've been trying for years at that point, and like time is slipping away from you, and you know, you want to start your family, and they're not there on that day to day. So they don't see that. They just think, oh, you know, you just keep trying for a few more months and something will happen. They just don't quite realize.
That they're being toxic positivity. They don't realize that.
Yeah, sort of. But nothing negative. I mean, nobody was like, you know, you shouldn't do that or anything like that. So
good. I've heard stories where people's families, and I think it typically comes from like a religious background, like it's just not meant to be, or God, blah, blah, blah. I'm just like, man, you know, like science is kind of tampering with nature, I guess. I don't know. And I'm like, man, just let people live.
I didn't realize with IUI, because I have heard of IUI before. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize you had to also like go through the hormone injections and different things like that too. I didn't know it was that. I mean, I guess it's not as invasive as IVF, but I didn't even realize it was like that invasive.
Well, you can choose to try unmedicated cycles.
Oh, okay. So there is a couple different options.
There is. There's the unmedicated or the medicated. And with that, they just time out your cycle and you do the same, you know, procedure, but you don't necessarily have any of the injections. Sometimes they might put you on like a pill. There's actually one that's kind of interesting. One of the pills that I take during the cycle is called letrozole, and it's actually a breast cancer drug. But the side effect of it is they have found that it increases your follicle count, I believe, or helps you develop more follicles. So
science is so amazing.
Yeah. And it's like, really how did somebody figure that out? I mean, were women doing breast cancer treatment and having, you know, going in to get checked for that? I mean, where did they go down that path? So,
well, how did people figure out that like Ozempic, if you take it just as like a weight loss drug, it works like that? Mm-hmm. Have you seen that whole thing? I'm like, that blows my mind.
Yeah, it's crazy.
So, once you guys started, you got it in round one. Did you have any like bad side effects from it, or just like the emotional ups and downs?
You know, there are side effects. I won't downplay any of that. You're really messing with your hormones, and you're asking your body to do quite. So I ended up with 15 follicles that were ready to be extracted, and the feeling of that, it's like you're doubled. Like you don't want to stand up straight because you feel like there's this pressure and weight in your abdomen, and like you're afraid to move wrong because it feels so heavy. And that was a really strange feeling. Like, and you are supposed to be very gentle with yourself. You're not supposed to be very active because there's the possibility that you could twist an ovary, from the, you know, the swelling and the weight. So you do have to be careful. Other than that, I did have some definitely mood swings, some hormone induced anxiety, all of those kind of things. But nothing crazy, like nothing. But I do have somebody I know who ended up getting ovarian hyperstimulation syndrome after the process of IVF. And, you know, that one, I'm yes, that actually is where, you know, after you do the IVF, your ovaries don't go down. So mm-hmm. they make the extraction and they swell and they cause fluid to kind of fill in your abdomen. And so you have to be really, really, really careful until that actually goes down. And so that's a side effect of IVF that can happen.
Do they tell you like an average number of follicles that like folks get, or is it just depend on the people, the person?
It depends on the person and how you respond to the medication. And just to give an example, and it also depends on your age and, you know, your health and what your issues are. And for me, I responded pretty well to the medication, but I was 38. And, you know, at that point, 15, I've heard of people having much more than 15, but 15 is a good number. 15 is, you know, but then somebody else I know who went through the process who's was 30, only had 6 follicles that developed to the point that they were able to extract. So it just kind of, it really depends on the person and how well you respond to the medication. And mm-hmm. she was much younger, but she just didn't respond as well. So.
Yeah. Do they, some of these questions might sound really stupid, so I apologize.
No, you literally don't know. I mean, same. I'm like, this is like a full education.
My mind is like blown right now. And I've known multiple people, but I guess I haven't like really asked questions because it feels like kind of a private thing and you don't.
Yeah, it feels invasive.
So can they like freeze your follicles like they do with sperm so you can use them later?
Yes. And I seriously recommend to anyone who thinks that they may want to grow their family, go freeze your eggs. So they can actually do basically the first steps of IVF, take you through the whole process, stimulate you, extract the follicles, you know, the eggs, pull them all out and freeze them. And your quality or the ability to have quality eggs decreases as you age. And I was at 30. What did they say? After 35, I was considered a geriatric pregnancy.
You're like, so,
yeah. Yeah, like, excuse me?
Well, then I'm dead.
Younger you are, the younger you are, the more eggs, more quality eggs that you will produce. And that increases your chances of actually, you know, being successful. So I encourage everyone that if you're planning on having children later in life and you want to wait a little bit, freeze them now. Do it.
And can you, this kind of sounds really weird too, but can you freeze like embryos? So like once they mix with the sperm and you know that you have like embryos that can be implanted, or do you implant them? Would they implant them all in that cycle?
No, actually you do. You freeze. So I had 15 eggs that were, you know, extracted. They did my husband's sperm. They do like a wash and they clean it and they take out the bad ones and then they mix it all together and let everything happen. And after that point, I believe I had 11 that we got that were embryos, 11 embryos. And then we went through the process of genetic testing. So then they take the embryos and they send them off to a lab and they test them genetically to see if they would actually be successful, if there's anything that would cause them to fail, like missing, you know, something in the genetic sequence. And so after that process, I ended up with 6 embryos.
That still seems like a healthy amount.
It was a healthy amount. And I thought that was spectacular. I was really excited about it. And then I had two IVFs fail this past year. And so now I have 2 left. Wait, that doesn't seem right.
So did you implant 2 the first time?
No, actually. So wait, my count is off. I'm sorry. I may have had 5. I think I ended up with 5 at the end. Cause I had my son and then we just had 2 fail and I have 2 left.
Okay.
And the 2 that failed, we have no idea why. I don't know if it's because I'm older and I have since been diagnosed with diabetes. So, but it's under control, entirely under control. But I don't know, we don't know why it failed. And so that was really, like I said, with Holden, when I had my son, I think that really did kind of like a rose colored glasses experience of the IVF process because we were immediately successful. Like it worked on the first try and I had so many embryos left and I was like, oh man, we're going to come back and we're going to be able to grow our family. And it's not going to be a problem. I'm super excited. I won't ever have to go through IVF again. And then to have those 2 fail, that's where I finally experienced that kind of, the up and down and heartbreak of it. it was a shock to me because, like I said, we were so successful with my son that I didn't expect that to happen. So
yeah. You went in with just like complete optimism that like there was a chance that this wasn't going to work. It obviously worked before. So I can only imagine the feelings of excitement, you know, to expand your family and then only to find out, you know, after putting all of that work in and the emotional ups and downs and hormonal stuff going on that you then, you know, get a no, essentially.
Yeah.
I imagine the ups and downs of the hormones alone.
Oh, it was wild this time. And my, the other part that was really disappointing for me is that I would have liked a daughter. And so during the genetic testing, they do tell you if you have boys and girls. So my embryos, we had 3 boys and 2 girls. And so we were ready to have a little girl. So we did the 2, you know, those last 2 cycles were girls and neither one worked. And so, and I'm not disappointed that I'm going to have boys if we go into the next round, but I really was hoping that we would have at least one girl.
Yeah.
And so that was kind of a, you know, you always think, okay, I'm going to have a daughter and I'm going to do her hair. And, you know, I mean, my little boy, rocks and dirt, dinosaurs.
Maybe you'll have
That's my type.
Maybe we'll have a more artsy boy next time.
Yeah. I can only
grow
hope.
His hair out.
I can only hope.
That's awesome.
So are you planning on then like in the near future trying again? Or I know you said you're kind of in the process. Are you like in it right now? Or are you guys just like planning on trying again?
Well, so this is kind of an interesting piece. I am going to be 45 this year, and 45 is the cutoff age for kind of for my clinic for IVF, and not all clinics, but my clinic, after 45, they do not do IVF anymore. So that window would close for me, this year. And after being unsuccessful with those 2 embryos and only having the 2 left, I'm a little scared. That we won't be able to expand, that these will also fail. Our plan actually is to implant the 2, but to do them at the same time to kind of hopefully increase our chances. And then after that, I'm out of embryos. And since I'm going to be 45, I kind of wanted a backup plan. So I had thought that I would never have to go through IVF again. I thought I had plenty of embryos, and now I'm doing a round of IVF. So I had to wait until, and this was really frustrating when I say this whole thing, another month. So we figured this out in, I want to say it was August or September. And I had to do a couple of things and wait for some cycles. And then I spoke to my fertility clinic and they said, well, we can't cross over years. So we can't start you in November because you'll cross over into January, because IVF is kind of like a 2 months in the beginning and a month at the end cycle. And so I had to wait until my cycle in January, but my cycle in January wasn't until when I was, so my first, it was December 25th when I had my period. Now I have to wait until January 25th. And then that begins day one of my next cycle. So I had to wait insurance-wise to make sure that I still had coverage and they couldn't, you know, do the crossover years. So it's been probably like 4 or 5 months where I've just been waiting to basically start.
This is so frustrating. I won't go on too much of a rant, but Stacey and I often will with just like insurance companies and the state of the world right now. It's like your body is on a time crunch and we're at the mercy of like insurance companies, and we're talking about like a month. Mm-hmm. Like why this is something that we shouldn't even be talking about. But at the same time, there's like so many people that don't even have the privilege and opportunity to experiment, like go down this road and even think about going down this road because they can't afford it, or, you know, mm-hmm. it's not something that's covered. So in your case, do you feel like you get a balance of both? I know it's probably still very expensive, but do you and or your husband's insurance like help cover a good portion of it?
It does now. So with my son, with the original round of IVF, there were some tests that were run that were essentially, you know, for my female health. They did something called HSG test, where they fill you up with fluid to make sure your uterus expands correctly and there's no problems. That was covered as like a general health thing. So anything that kind of fell under the "we're checking you in your general health," they were able to cover. But at the time, the IVF itself was completely not, no fertility treatments themselves were covered. So we paid for my son out of pocket. And at the time, so this was six years ago, I think now. It was, I want to say it was 13,000, not including the genetic testing, which was another 2,200. So that was all out of pocket. And believe me, my husband has the bill ready for my son when he turns the right age.
Been waiting to give this to you.
Here's your creation bill.
I just can't even fathom it. Like 6 years ago, like we were far along enough, like as a community, as a country, like why are we having to not have IVF be covered at that point? Mm-hmm. It's insane. But I'm happy to hear that it sounds like now at least a portion of it's covered.
I feel like it wasn't before.
Yeah, no, it wasn't before. It wasn't before. And like even the IUIs, so every IUI cost me somewhere in the range of $1,000. And the medications are just ridiculously expensive. So all of that was out of pocket in my original round. But now my insurance does cover a significant portion. The only portion it doesn't cover is my genetic testing, because that actually is optional. But for me and my age, you know, the genetic testing is necessary. I'm not going to waste months because, you know, like I said, every failed cycle is another month that you have to wait and recover. And so, if your embryos aren't good, and my husband and I talked about this before, we had 11, I believe it was 11 embryos that created, and of those only five would have been successful. So I could have gone through four rounds of failures and miscarriages before getting to a successful embryo. And so, you know, that's why I'm all about the genetic testing, like to make sure that you're not going to put yourself through that and for something that's not viable. So,
yeah.
So, but that's a big expense because it is an option. That I believe the genetic testing was something like, at the time with my son, it was $1,800 for the first four and then $200 or $300 for every other one. So,
man,
test. Yeah.
Does your husband's insurance cover any portion of it?
Because we work for the same company, it just kind of falls all under, there's no, what is that called? Like, you know, where another insurance company will pick up portions of it. No, it's all just whoever's covered in this case.
Coordinate together.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So what is like something that somebody had told you, or like something you wish somebody had told you, and something maybe you've already or will pass on, like information wise? I mean, I guess we kind of cover that with your friend, but is there anybody else that you trusted enough that gave you any kind of feedback that was helpful?
One of the things that I think would be really helpful is to really educate yourself about the process, and know what you're, look into it, know what it is, know the steps, the paths, the outcomes of different things, know what to ask, because you really have to be in any health situation, you need to be your own advocate. You need to have an idea of what you're looking for and to really map it out. Communicate very clearly with your doctor. Like, my plan is that I want to do this IVF cycle, and then in 2 years, I want to grow my family, and make sure that they are aware of like kind of your end goals, mm-hmm. because it changes their treatment plan. And then, you know, make sure you're really open with them about everything you've done. Like every supplement you've taken, everything that you've tried, just so that they can help you be successful. And my clinic, oh my gosh, they are so amazing. All of my doctors have been, I remember when we heard my son's heartbeat for the first ultrasound, and my doctor teared up with me.
Aww.
And it was just the sweetest thing. And so they are very invested as well. So, you know, just be really open and honest with them and, you know, tell them what you're thinking and what your plans are and really ping them for advice. Like, use them, use your doctors, yeah. But go in knowing an idea of what the process is, because that will really help you to not feel so lost when they're talking all these terms and the different outcomes. So, and patience for sure.
Yeah, don't freak out.
Yeah. Just really like advocate for yourself. If somebody's just really, I mean, I think in general too, with like medical advice, if somebody's just not feeling it with their doctor and, you know, we have intuition, let's just like move on, find somebody else. If you have that option, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly.
I think the point you made too, like even if you're taking supplements or anything, I think I work in the dental world and we like sedate people and stuff and they fail to like even disclose certain medications because they don't feel like it's linked to like their dental health. And it's like, no, mm-hmm. It's all connected. You're like getting put to sleep or, you know, like it could affect something else. It's a mouth body connection. And so I think even, you know, they're like, oh, I just take this vitamin. Like, what does mm-hmm. that mean? But it could be something in the vitamin that's linking and causing issues or can cause issues or side effects. So I think that's a good call out too, is like every single thing you're putting in your body, like be open about it.
Right. Yeah. Communicate. Definitely communicate. That way they can help you the best way. And they are a wealth of information. They've dealt with this, you know, these situations. So it's, and don't be embarrassed with them. They have seen everything. They know it all. And they're great. So
so when there's 60 people and they're looking at your vagina, don't stress.
Don't worry. They've seen 59 before you got there that day.
Yeah. I imagine birth is the same way. You look up and there's like 40 people and you're like, what's happening?
Oh yeah. 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 The labor, delivery, all of that. But at that point I had been through all of this IVF and I was completely like immune to the, oh, sure. Nurse, come in. You want to chat? Who are you? Everybody just come on in.
The janitor is just taking the trash out. Hey, put some gloves on. You want to pop in here? See what's going on.
It's a learning experience.
Yeah, there you go. Everybody should know. I love, so it's NorCal Fertility Clinic.
That's where I've gone. Yes.
I love that. Like someone would still tear up and like be emotionally invested with their patient when they see this all the time.
Yeah. You that's know? Amazing.
That would make me feel really good that like every single one of those experiences matter to that person.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Cause we really don't know either what their journey was, you know, maybe they've experienced it and that's what makes them so have so much empathy for the people that are going through it. That is nice. You know, when people understand.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It really is. It really is. And I think that they have also seen, you know, the successes and failures of so many other people. And so they know how hard it is. They know the work that's involved in it. And you have a whole care team there. So you have a coordinator when you go through the IVF process, who kind of holds your hand through the majority of it. You have a nurse coordinator who helps you with learning the injections and all of those things. Cause you do those all yourself. And so, you know, there's the whole, like I said, there's a whole team. And I'm also doing acupuncture with an acupuncturist for this round because they encourage, they actually have a room on site at the fertility clinic to have an acupuncture doctor there for your implantation day. So
that's nice.
It's kind of cool.
Yeah, that is really nice.
Yeah. Yeah. So they encourage that as well.
That's awesome. Well, I wish you the best of luck. So you're what, 10 days away from trying again from, I guess, your first round?
Yes. Yeah. Well, I'm only going to do one round, I believe.
First month of your next round, I guess.
I'm going to go at the end of this month and start a round of birth control. They put you on birth control for a month to make everything quiet. And then I will do a round of medication. And then so hopefully after that, see what happens. They're not really confident because I'm so old.
I'm geriatric.
Man, you must be getting, it must be time for your nap soon.
Dinner's right around the corner, I think.
Yep, it is.
I really appreciate you like being so open and vulnerable and sharing your story. And I know that there's a billion other stories that, you know, will sound similar and some that will be very different, but I appreciate you, you know, educating me and Stacy, because we know that
literally know nothing.
We're like, my vagina's there and it bleeds once a month. I'm not sure what else is happening down there.
I don't know. Told you about my last experience. She was an asshole. Yeah. Thank you so much, Olivia. That was really amazing.
Yeah. Anytime.
Is there anything else you want to share? I mean, I think you did a really good job of wrapping that up and tying a nice bow on it, but is there anything, anybody that might be going through it right now, anything additional you'd want to share with them, or piece nuggets of optimism you want to throw out into the universe?
The only other thing I would say is don't be embarrassed. Tell people, have conversations about it with other women. There, you'd be amazed how many women are going through the same thing. I know just off the top of my head of 5 or 6 other women going through a similar thing. And it's so wonderful to exchange information and to support. And you never know too, if somebody else is just starting their journey and you have some experience that you can help them with. I know that that's happened with me. I've really been able to reassure some people and help them feel better about the whole process. And so, you know, really you can be a support and you can also gain support from the people around you. And like I said, there's so many people who are going through this. It's just, it's actually kind of shocking when you start to have a conversation about it. And although it's definitely a hard thing to open with, like nobody goes up and says, "Hey, are you going through fertility treatments?" So it's kind of, yeah, but if that opportunity comes up,
I'm sure to get to that.
yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, definitely. Thank you so much. I appreciate you. I appreciate all the little nuggets you shared with us today. And I wish you the best of luck at the end of January.
Yeah.
So much.
Good luck. We'll be rooting for you. Yes. Life is a beautiful mess. A beautiful mess.